right, so this, what you're about to hear, is the co-hosting segments that Alan Tecchio did for us on The Last Exit for the Lost back on, it aired on April 12th. You can listen to the entire show with the music at thelastexit.org. The entire show is streamable. It also includes the interview I'm probably going to put up following this, which is the co-hosting segment with Sean Killian of Violence. So when Alan Tecchio with us for a little over half an hour, which was like 2 hours in showtime, and I left in us talking about the songs upcoming, just because he had stories and stuff to go along with that. So again, there's no music here. It's just the interview segments and the conversations with Alan Tecchio. And if you want to hear the whole thing, go to the website and you can listen anytime. So here you go. And joining us now, we have Alan Tecchio, who is technically, you've been in about 500 different bands, Alan.
It does add up after a while, for sure.
I mean, I think the first one we all knew was Hades. Was that your first main band?
It's the first band I released an actual record with. I was in a couple bands before that, just did demos and stuff, you know, but it was the first one that I really, you know, did when I was 19 years old. We did Resisting Success.
Yeah, which we still play stuff from regularly on The Last Exit.
Oh, thank you.
And on the Onslaught, I'm going to have a Hades pick next week on my old school Onslaught set.
So
that's so cool.
Hades is still doing stuff on occasion, right?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's weird because we had gotten back together in 98. We got a deal from Metal Blade kind of out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And we did three records with them. And then we did some shows in Europe, like some festivals and stuff. But I don't think we've gone over since like 2010.
Ah, okay. So do you think it's done or just hiatus until something else comes up?
Yeah, it's done.
Well, that's too bad.
No, it's okay, brother. I mean, I'm old now. You know what I mean? I got to be like loving the people I'm playing music with. And it just became kind of not a great scene, you know?
Well, you are doing Mike LaPont's Silent Assassins.
I am.
And how did this come about?
So Mike and I played together in Seven Witches with Jack Frost. And he's actually on a few records with Seven Witches that I'm not on, and I'm on a few records that he's not on. It's just ironic that we ended up playing a bunch of shows together in that band mostly. And at one show, we were playing with Armored Saint out in Long Island, and Mike was like, I'm going to do this solo thing, you know, on the side from Symphony X, and you know, I'm looking for a singer. Would you be into it? And I said, yeah, and that's basically how it started. And we're just about to release our third album now.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one song we have from it is phenomenal.
Thanks.
So, are there any other projects you're currently involved in?
I have a band called Level Fields, which has a bass player from New Jersey, Clint Arendt, and then Andreas Tegler and my main man, Marco Ahrens, who are both from Germany. They play in a band over there in Germany called Poverty Is No Crime.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, he was a nonfiction fan, the guitar player, Marco. And he started sending me some music a number of years ago, and we just started kind of writing together, just the two of us. That developed into a few songs, and then we got a little record deal, and we put it out, a record called 1104. I think it's about a year and a half ago now, 2 years maybe. And we're working on a whole bunch of new songs and cover songs and stuff with that, but it's just tricky because, you know, time. So this coronavirus lockdown is actually giving me a little bit of free time to, you know, work on some of the new songs that we're working on for the next record, but I don't know when we're going to finish all that stuff.
Oh, all right. And that's the only other, so just those two projects right now?
I'm technically still in Watchtower, and we have a deal with Prosthetic to do another EP, but, you know, with those guys, like, they don't really play together. And Ron and I kind of really, you know, worked on getting the first EP, Concepts of Math, Book One, together, the two of us. And then, you know, with the involvement of the other two guys, we finalized that and released that, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, something like that. And I want to do the other EP, but I mean, we're not really working on it. So it's just kind of a technicality. I'm in the band. The songs are written. They're not tracked. I'd have to write a bunch of melodies and lyrics and stuff. And those dudes don't really like my melodies and lyrics. So it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to get that thing jump started and going. But technically, I guess, you know, that opportunity is still there and we're still signed.
Yeah, that's cool. I know when The Size of the Matter came out, it seemed to come out as like there was something going to follow it, and then nothing followed it.
That was a weird time, brother. We went over and played the Keep It True Festival, and I thought we had a killer show, despite the fact that we weren't playing together as a band, and the stuff is so technical. But, you know, after that gig, I was ready to come home and start crushing out the rest of the songs that did eventually come out on the EP, but they kicked me out of the band when I got home. And I got an email with the subject line, adios.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm like, really? Like, I got us the artist for the cover. Like, the guy who did all the layout and the design work had done a record that I did with a band called Autumn Hour that I put together in, like, 2009. And I had this great Swedish artist that did this killer art. So I enlisted him for the Watchtower thing. He did this killer cover. And then they, like, tossed me out to the curb. And I was like, why? You know? Like, huh. And they felt the hype they were getting was going to let them, from what they said, cast a wider net to get another singer that was a better fit or whatever. And then a bunch of years went by, and then Ronnie called me and was like, dude, you want to finish these songs? I'm like, yeah. Like, I've wanted to finish them for years now, dude. And that's totally how I feel about the rest of the, you know, the other part of the half of the EP. I just want to get it out there and be done with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So you didn't hold it against them, obviously.
No, I mean, I'm a mad fan. You know, I got into that band because I was such good friends with Jason McMaster, their previous singer. And, you know, it was a very different kind of scenario than, like, when I joined Hades. And, you know, it was just different, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I remember when Control and Resistance came out. And, you know, back then, no internet, no instant information. I get it from Noise Records. And I'm looking, I'm like, wait a second. Alan Tecchio is singing for Watchtower.
Yeah.
and it was a phenomenal album. I mean, I loved the Energetic Disassembly, their first album, with McMaster singing, which is a classic of technical metal. But yeah, Control and Resistance, that got a lot of airplay on the show back then. It was, and I really liked the cover art too. There was something that I just stared at that album cover on Control and Resistance for hours. So yeah, that's a classic album. And I've always liked Watchtower. I know, like, Joe's always enjoyed Watchtower too. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear there's still a potential for projects with them.
Yeah, I'm hoping one day we can finish up the other things. I mean, I get along killer with Rick, the drummer, but they don't really, you know, Rick and Doug don't really allow Rick. Sorry, Doug and Ron don't really allow Rick to have a voice in the band. And so he's like my best ally, but, you know, he has no power. And I hate for it to even be like a power struggle. It shouldn't be like that at our age, you know, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear
my question is, who did they think they were going to get better than you?
I think they wanted that dude from, what's that Canadian band, Into Eternity? I think they were talking to him. I don't know who he is. I've heard him sing. He sounds killer, but I know, whatever. I know. I don't know who they thought they were going to get per se, but I know they were talking with that guy.
Well, let's hear one of your picks. What do you want to start with Catatonia?
Oh, yeah, that would be killer, man. I love Catatonia. My old roommate, Dave Lisinski, who was in Hades with me on Save Yourself and The Downside, and he was the drummer in that band Autumn Hour I mentioned earlier. He got me into Catatonia years ago, and just what a killer band, man. Love those guys.
All right. So we're going to hear Ghost of the Sun, and then maybe something from Hades?
Sounds cool.
All right. Last Exit for the Lost. So we're here still with Alan Tecchio. And, man, if you look on Encyclopedia Battalion, it's probably not even all your bands, but it lists Seven Witches, Power, Nonfiction, All Time Low, Autumn Hour, Hades, Heathen's Rage, Level Fields, Michael Upon, Silent Assassins, and Watchtower. Are there more?
They're mostly all there. I would say Heathen's Rage, I really was never an official member of. I mean, that's Mike Lapon's very first band that he was in. And they got offered to play the Keep It True Festival, and they weren't sure the singer could do it. So he asked me to do that, largely because of my involvement with the Silent Assassin stuff.
Ah.
And so then I went and learned all the Heathen's Rage songs. And that's something we did a few years back in Germany. It was actually a killer show, but I was never on any albums with those guys or anything. I was just on that show and a show in Jersey before we went overseas, and a show in Greece we did.
Mm. Okay, yeah, it doesn't have any list. Go ahead.
Didn't you win that show with the Heat or Hades song?
That actually was the same festival. but a different band. That was a band from Greece that wanted to do a Hades song and have me sing with them. So that was like the first day we got there to the festival, and they were one of the first bands on, if not the first band. And I got up and sang the leaders with them.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen that on YouTube. That's out there. Both things are out there, actually, on YouTube.
Okay.
How did Nonfiction come about?
So Dan Lorenzo had always wanted to kind of slow Hades down and tune it down and then just make it a little chunkier and heavier. And Ed Furman didn't really want to do that, the lead guitar player. He wanted to kind of, he was afraid he was going to warp his neck and stuff to detune the strings and whatnot. And sure enough, they never did it. So the band kind of split up. I that's when I got the Watchtower gig. So I moved from Jersey to Texas, joined Watchtower, and you know, I kind of went off running with that. And then Dan started a new thing by himself with Damon Trotta on bass, Danny Nastasi from Dog Eat Dog and Mucky Pup later on guitar, and Mike Christie on drums. And they called it Number Nine, and it morphed into Nonfiction, and they did an EP. And when I heard the demos in the EP, I was like, man, this, you know, Lorenzo just writes really great riffs, and he inspires me as a singer. So I was singing like older melodies to the stuff and thinking, wow, this is really cool. Turns out with Watchtower, you know, Ron had surgery he needed on his hands and he couldn't play guitar for a few years. I ended up moving back to Jersey, and Dan and I reconnected, and I ended up stepping in as a singer into Nonfiction at that point.
Hey, Craig, do you want to mute your mic unless you're talking?
Yeah, sorry. I'm out in front by 5 and 20.
That's all right. Yeah, I actually saw you play. I never saw Hades, unfortunately, but I did get to see you play as Nonfiction in Ithaca. I don't remember which tour it was, though. I'm trying to look it up here. I know I had it listed. But I don't think as Hades I ever got to see you, unfortunately.
We played a bunch of stuff. Like, we used to play in Troy, New York, and Middletown, New York, places like that.
It was April 11th, 1993. Wow. Almost to the day. At Max's, you were playing with Overkill.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, I remember that being a great show. Overkill played here constantly back in the day.
Yeah, no, great band, man. We just had come back from Europe with them with Sabotage, and then we did the American run.
What's one of your favorite memories from playing with Hades?
Ooh. I'll tell you what, a recent memory was 2010 Bang Your Head Festival. It actually started to rain. I was watching that show on, I don't know if it was Showtime or what, it was on Spartacus at the time. Mm-hmm. And they had just had the episode where Spartacus brings the rain in the arena. And I had come out, I had to announce us as we're coming out. So as I'm walking out behind the speakers, I'm like, and now from America, the bringers of rain. and the sky like opened up and it started raining. It was pretty funny. And we knew it was obviously going to do that. I wasn't that pathetic.
Right.
But that was a cool show just because we were a lot older and a little more mature. And I think that the fans really liked it. And I thought it was a good gig.
Nice. What's some of the weirdest stuff that's happened to you on tours?
I don't have any really crazy weird stories. You know, there were a lot of things, I think, with the guys in the band, and we had a school bus we used to travel around in. A lot of the dudes, I was actually pretty faithful. I usually had a girlfriend, and the other guys not necessarily. So that bus got a lot of like crazy action like that.
But no weird, like, actual in-concert experiences?
No. I mean, I remember opening for Pantera once in New York City on the Cowboys from Hell tour, and I jumped off the drum rig and landed on Dan's, like, distortion pedal and snapped it. Oh. So that wasn't a good memory, but I'll always remember that one because Dan would never let me forget it.
When you started doing this, did you expect to have the career you did?
Nah, I mean, I don't know what you think back then. I do remember vividly one of the first reviews we got on Resisting Success was in Kerrang. And I think it was Malcolm Dome had written it. And he was like, you know, this singer, Alan Tecchio, where did he come from? You know, he makes Rob Halford look like Tiny Tim. And I was I'm such a huge Halford fan that I remember reading that and being like, oh my God, I'm amazing. And then the bad reviews started to come out. You know what I mean? It's because I got one of those love or hate voices, which is fine. I'd rather be that than vanilla. And the people that hated it were really, really pointed about what they hated about it. And that kind of made me realize you can't listen to any reviews. You just got to do what you have in your heart, put it down, and hope you do a good take of it. And that's it, man. People are going to love it and hate it no matter what.
True.
Yeah. Not seeing Hades. I mean, Joe and I saw so many concerts back in the day when we were in college radio doing our shows, but Hades is the one of the bands I never got to see live, and that's kind of a regret, but well, you know, there's always the albums.
true enough. There's some live DVDs and stuff out there too, not that it's the same thing, but you know.
Well, let's hit another one of your picks. How about Deliverance from Opeth?
Oh my God, the video of the making of that record is one of the coolest documentaries I've ever seen.
Really?
And the riffs in, well, I mean, I don't know, maybe I just built it up too much because it's basically it's a review of them making the record, but I was so into the album when it came out that to watch them craft it and how they crafted it, I'm just fascinated by stuff like that. Like, I love those shows when they break out, you know, like little mini mixes of the songs and solo certain tracks. I totally dig that. That's really cool. And they did that with that record. But the riffs in this, especially the ending riff on the outro of the song, just to me are godlike.
All right. And then we'll hear the new song from Mike LaPont's Silent Assassins. And what is that one called?
Is that the one that he put the lyric video out for? It's Dracul's Son.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Dracul's Son.
And the album's going to be called Horror of Babylon, right?
Correct.
Okay. Do you know what the release date is?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Let's hear some Opeth and some Mike LaPont's Silent Assassins here on The Last Exit for the Lost. So we're here with Alan Tecchio. And Alan, where do you get your influences for lyric writing? Like, what inspires you?
I've always been one of those like realistic kind of writers, which is why it's very funny to be the singer for Silent Assassins, because Mike writes everything for that stuff. And he's totally like the Man of War guy. You know, he loves stories from history and the Bible and Edgar Allan Poe. And it's really cool because for me, dude, that's full circle. Like Jimmy Shulman and Hades would always do those kinds of songs, these big epic, you know, Mask of the Red Deaths and Aftermath of Betrayal, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of fun to kind of step back into that world with Mike. And I sing it like I mean it, because that's just how I sing. But I would never write words like that. You know what I mean? Like, my lyrics are all based in, like, I mean, the 1104 song from Level Fields is about a train crash that happened in New Jersey, not far from where I live, back in the 20s. And it's just a really sick, sick story. And it's so metal what happens to these passengers in the crash, which I won't tell you. You can just read about it. But Extra 1104 was the name of the train. And it's a really, really wild crash story. But anyway, that was, you know, inspiration for that title, and it became the title track. I get a little political and socio-political at times. I definitely write from the heart about personal relationships. So those are kind of the things that I gravitate toward to, you know, find inspiration.
Well, why did you call the first one Resisting Success?
Dan came up with that, and it was basically because in that particular point in time for heavy metal, you know, bands like Brittany Fox and all these big hair bands were really popular. They were getting all the girls. They were getting all the tours. And they had this whole big scene, and we hated it. So we just were writing to kind of stand in the face of that. And we knew that what we were doing wasn't going to get us all over MTV and get us all these, you know, great perks that these hair bands were getting. And so we called it Resisting Success because it was basically shrugging off what those guys were enjoying.
But you guys had all of the hair.
We had all the hair.
There was not a band that had a lot of hair like you guys did.
We just didn't have a lot of chicks in the audience, though, brother.
That's because you had all the funks.
We did in a way. We did in a way, but that was because of the hair. You're right. It wasn't because of the music.
So when it comes to your singing, do you rather sing your own lyrics, or does it not matter to you?
I prefer to sing my own lyrics because, and it's not even so much the words, it's the melodies. Like Mike, you know, Mike writes all these melodies and tons of harmonies, and I double everything that I sing pretty much. So I got to double every single harmony, and he writes a lot of really interesting, cool stuff that I would never come up with because he's like a really good musician. And I'm more of a singer like Ozzy, who hears a melody in his head, puts it down, finds a cool harmony. Maybe it's not even a harmony per se, but a polyphony where it just finds notes that work together in different ways with the melody. And I kind of love that. So I think I like singing my lyrics more because I like singing my melodies more.
Mm, that makes sense.
So the band that I saw you with a while ago in Rochester, what happened to the All-Star band where you guys were doing all those cover tunes?
So that's Jack Frost's little thing. We called it the Frost Metal Coalition. We had Johnny Kelly from Danzig on drums, Charlie from Angel on keyboards, a bunch of different bass players. Actually, Joey from Fate's Warning played one of the gigs with us up in Rhode Island, which was really cool. And John Arch came out to it, which was awesome because I'm a huge Arch fan. But, you know, it just really kind of fizzled out. And Johnny moved to Texas. So that definitely put the kibosh on it. But then Ronnie from Hades and Overkill stepped up to play a few shows with us. So, I mean, it could be probably put back together on the fly, but I just haven't had freaking any kind of time, you know, I mean, free time to like go do gigs and whatnot. It's amazing we did what we did with that cover band.
So it's just kind of a fun thing.
Oh, totally, bro. I mean, there was like two people in that Rochester gig. You know, we're not making money too. It was to have fun and keep playing and whatever, but, you know, it's... At a certain point, my kids now are 12 and almost 14, and I'm just running around to sporting events and stuff every single weekend, and it's freaking hard to find any time to get into my vocal booth in my basement and lay down some tracks, you know? And I got a lot of stuff I'm working on for Level Fields, but I just can't find the time, you know?
Time right now when everybody's stuck inside?
Well, I'm down in Florida right now. My dad's mobile home. Keeping him company because he's 92 and he's on his own. And I didn't want him down here solo. So I can only, you know, play around with my laptop a little bit late at night. But if I was home, when I should be getting home in a week or two, I'm not even sure when, then I'm going to definitely quarantine myself in that vocal booth and just make some stuff happen because I got a lot of stuff I'm working on.
All right. So your next pick was Arch Enemy, First Day in Hell.
Yeah, so huge Mike LaMotte fan. I actually got to meet him through Kevin Bolenbach from Nonfiction just a few years ago. They played in New York at the Nokia Theater, and it was one of those. Sorry,
I've been there. I've been to the Nokia.
Okay,
so I lived in New York City for a long time. Cool. So yeah,
it was a little like it was a fanboy moment for me, but it actually kind of flipped on me, which I never expected. Kevin was trying to get tickets for the show, and when he told him that I wanted to come, Michael was like, oh yeah, absolutely, here's two tickets and backstage. So we go backstage, and Michael LaMotte comes out. I've never met him before. I don't think he has any clue who I am, and he's like, brother! And he gives me this big hug. He's like, I can't believe you came out here to see us, this is so cool. I'm like, dude, are you talking to me? And he's like, yeah. He goes, of course, I have all your records, I love you. He goes, I'm surprised you like this kind of singing because you sing so differently. And I'm like, well, I actually like the Spiritual Beggar stuff a little bit better than he does. But I did love that record a lot. I love that song, The Race. I love the song I picked because it's about, you know, the Holocaust and stuff. And I think it's really dark and heavy. Mm-hmm. But it was hilarious, dude. And you'll laugh at this because he was like, listen, man, you got to hang out after the show. We got all kinds of stuff backstage to play with. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a killer hang. We got tons of beers and liquor. And, oh, my God, I can't wait to talk to you. And I'm like, dude, I'm leaving. I'm probably leaving two songs before you're done. And I got to get home to, you know, wake up at 5 a.m. and take my son to a swim meet. I'm like, I want to hang out and party with you all night, brother, but I can't. But it was great to meet him. It was very cool to meet him. And I was totally humbled and flattered that he knew me.
Nice. All right. First Day in Hell from Arch Enemy. And then we're going to hear maybe some Watchtower.
Cool.
Sounds
all
good.
Right. So, Alan, how do your kids respond to your music? Do they like it?
Yeah, they dig it. You know, when we did that thing with Jack Frost, the Frost Coalition, we played Dingbats in Clifton, a little bar. with a stage, and my son came up and he sang Stars with us. Jack's son was on stage with us singing Stars. it was kind of fun and cool. So they're into it. I've incorporated my kids since they were like really little into my music in little ways. Like on the Autumn Hour record, my daughter says a few things. I have her singing on some of the Level Field stuff on the album. My son does some little spoken word parts and stuff. You know, but it's something that I try to incorporate them into, but I wouldn't say that they're big metal fans. You know what I mean? They're totally pop music kids and, you know,
but at least they don't hate it.
No. And I constantly expose them to, you know, all the different metal sounds from back in the day till now and hope that they'll get into some of it. And they have, you know, it's just, you can't like force it down their throats. Otherwise they're like resistant, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So going forward, what do you hope's going to happen here with your musical career?
I'd love to finish up that Watchtower EP part two or book two. Definitely that's on the list for sure. I think that has to get done. I don't care when we do it, but I definitely want to be the one singing it, and I want to see it complete. And that said, I'm happy if they complete it without me. I just want it done because I'm a fan.
You know? Right.
I definitely got to get the Next Level Fields record together. We have some really cool covers we did. I want to throw on there. We covered a Cure song. I want to cover this song. I don't know if you guys watch Hunters. I think that's a Netflix show.
I saw the entire first season of Hunters, yeah.
So the very last song in the very last episode of the first season is a song that's really obscure. It's when the guy kills the lawyer in the jail. And they close credits with that. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's this hippy-dippy 60s kind of tune. But I had no idea who it was. And it turned out to be this band, Top Drawer. And, you know, I'm like, I got to get this song. So I got it. And I'm like, we have to cover this song. Like, so we're in the midst of covering that.
I'll have to go back and rewatch that. I don't recall that song. I think I was too blown away by the revelation at the end that I won't tell Joe and Carl in case they watch it. But you know what I'm talking about when they have the one guy, Joe, captured and down in South America, the revelation at the in the last episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was paying attention. I'll have to go back and watch it and hear that song then.
But yeah, so for me, to finish up the Next Level Fields record is definitely key. I'm really glad that, you know, I'm done with the Silent Assassin stuff because that stuff takes a lot out of me, man. Like, there's a song, The Telltale Heart, on the new Silent Assassins. It's probably one of the hardest things I've ever sung ever. You know, so Mike pushes, but it's great.
Are you going to be doing live shows with them?
You know, I don't know. We did one so far, and it was at that place, Dingbats in Clifton, and it was the most people I've ever seen in that place. But we had 6 months to promote it, and people flew in from, I mean, there are people there from South America and Japan and California and the Carolinas, and all of my old school crew from the Hades days from Long Island came down in upstate New York. And I mean, you name it, they came from everywhere. And it made for a really, really diverse and interesting audience. And they all were there singing their asses off and talking to each other. You know what I mean? So it was so cool. Imagine coming from Japan. You're like the only person there from Japan. But you have so much in common with all these people there, and everyone just embraced each other. It was really, really cool to see, I got to say. But if we played there the following week, you know, there'd be like two people there, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. So no plans to do like a nationwide tour for that?
Nothing for that yet. Mike and I and the band rehearsed probably 6 months leading up to that gig, like every week, you know what I mean? With a couple weeks off here and there, because I think Symphony X went out on the road a little bit. But for the most part, we were diligently hammering out the rehearsals on that. And then we rolled right into the gig, you know? So I'm sure we would do the same thing. And once you're on the road, if we ever did something like that, every night's basically a rehearsal and you just get tighter and tighter, you know, a few days in.
Yeah.
I'd like to add to this that is also on YouTube, that whole performance. And there's no way you could ever tour because Mike LaPond is in more bands than you.
True enough.
Every record we get, I'm pretty sure Mike LaPond is on somewhere doing something.
I'm sure he is, dude.
Do you have any advice for bands just starting up?
You know, I wouldn't be the guy to be honest with you. I mean, if you wanted advice back in the 80s or 90s, probably the 90s more so, I could probably have given some good advice. But these days, like, I don't know what you would do. The advice would always be kind of the same right now at this stage of my life. I'm going to be 54 in a few months. My advice would be, if you have music in you, whether it's a riff or a lyric or a melody or whatever, a bass line or a drum beat, get it out of you, because it's cathartic and healthy to do that. And just always put out stuff that you believe in. And, you know, people will like it and some people will not like it. And as long as you're confident with it and like it, and that, and you get enjoyment from doing that, then just do it. Because if you're doing it for any other reason, good luck. You'd be probably very disappointed, you know?
And most importantly, resist success.
Absolutely. I did a good job of that. You know, I'll tell you, I'll leave you with this one. We're wrapping up now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll leave you with this one little story. Warrell Dane from Nevermore and Sanctuary, God rest his soul. He had been on the road with Anthrax with Sanctuary, and one of our roadies from back in the Hades days was Anthrax's, I think, drum tech. And he told us, he goes, dude, we're in Europe, and we're at this backstage, you know, area, we're talking, and I was wearing my Hades Resisting Success shirt, and Warrell Dane comes over to me, and he's like, Hades, Resisting Success. He goes, they're doing a good job of that. I always, that always sat in my head. And then when we played the Bang Your Head Festival in 2010 in Germany, we played with Nevermore. And this is just a few years before Warrell passed. And he was already starting to really be like kind of totally out of control. And I was backstage with him hanging out, and he was in a good mood. He wasn't messed up or anything yet. Later in the night, it was a different story. But at that time, he was okay, and we were talking, and I told him that story. And I'm like, dude, I'm not pissed off at you, because it's so long ago. But I said, are you going to get a kick out of the story? And I'm like, do you remember saying that? And he goes, no. He goes, but I probably did. Anyway.
So the last pick you gave me was a band called Seamless, and I'm not that familiar with Seamless. You want to tell people who they are?
So I don't even think they're around anymore, but it was the singer from Killswitch Engage. So okay. When he left Killswitch, he started this band Seamless, which is a little bit more organic, a little more ethereal, like a little bit of a Soundgarden thing in some of it, but not totally, and definitely heavy. And there's probably only two or three songs on that record, maybe four, that I think are really outstanding. Some of them don't really speak to me, but this is one of them. And I just thought the riffs were great, and I love the guy's voice.
All right. This is a song called Cast No Shadow, and maybe we'll follow it up with some Level Fields.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Alan, for joining us.
Oh, thanks, guys. I really appreciate the attention, man. It's awesome.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks. And thanks for the great music, especially for, you know, a young metalhead in a small town back in the late 80s.
My pleasure, guys. My pleasure. Thank you again.